heartbeat of God, and we're learning to function in eternal rhythms that will bring about spiritual growth consistently and regularly in our lives as we walk on the earth. And we talked about how there's no, well, maybe I talked about that with the youth group. Anyways, there's no part of life that is separate from God. There's no like holy life and unholy life in the life of Christ. That when we enter into relationship with God, that all of life is redeemed and all of our lives become a part of our holy communion or our fellowship with the Lord in the way that we live. And so we want to not conceive of our lives as separate from God. That like church is not more holy than making your scrambled eggs on Saturday morning, if you make scrambled eggs on Saturday morning. I think you get what I'm saying, that it's all equally before the Lord. Now, some things are more fruitful spiritually than others, but all of life is connected. And so we need to learn a way of thinking and a way of structuring our lives that's connected to God. So we want to have these rhythms of grace, these ways of perceiving all of life as part of all of eternity, which is what God has for us. And so we've been talking about these rhythms of grace. Last week, we talked about being story-formed, right? Does anybody remember that? And we talked about how our lives, we each have our own story, but then many of us have a story of encountering Jesus and how that changes our story. And that reinforces this pattern of living that we have that establishes these rhythms of grace in our lives. And we start living based on new questions. So we ask, who is God? And we ask, what has God done? And then we realize that what God has done has given us a new identity. So we start to ask, who are we or who am I because of what God has done? And then when we realize this new identity is in place, we start to think about what we should do in different ways. Now, sometimes we get really specific, right? Like what I should do is love my neighbor, or what I should do is serve somebody specifically. That's good and that's beautiful. But beyond that, God wants to show you what you should do as a part of a rhythm of grace. In your life, so that you can see all of your life is connected to who He is and what He has done. And so today we're going to be talking about listening. My remote isn't working. Just a moment. I'm going to reset it. Still not working. Dawn, could you advance our slide for me? Hey, great. Today we're going to be talking about listening. Now, I don't know if you know it, but listening is an incredibly unique power that each of us has been given. Listening is a unique gift in that it's so amazing, and yet it's a ubiquitous gift, right? It's something that everybody should be born with. Has anybody known someone who was born without the gift of listening? They can't hear. That's really hard, right? So I'm going to share two different stories about listening. The first happened when I was about 14, which makes my little brother 9 to 10. And we were on a road trip, and I had some of my own money that I had saved up, and I went in while my dad was pumping gas, and everybody was sitting in the family van, and I bought a snack. And I brought it to the car, and I had it in like my coat pocket, but the inside was my snack, right? Not their snack. And so I'm sitting in the front seat, and my dad is driving, or he's going to be driving, and then everybody else is in the back of the van. And I open the package of my snack, and my little brother goes, "You got peanut M&Ms?" "How do you know I have peanut M&Ms?" I heard him. His listening for food was so specific that he knew the sound of peanut M&Ms being open, right? Like, he had learned, he was in tune to the goodness of the M&Ms. Like, he was, "I am ready for M&Ms." And, of course, then what does he say next? "Can I have some?" How do you say no to someone who can hear your M&Ms, right? You're like, "You're an M&M hunter? I think you're entitled to some of the share of the M&Ms that I have killed for my own pleasure, right? I'm a hunter-gatherer. I've killed the M&Ms with my dollar bill, and now I will consume them, and so will you, apparently." On the other hand, I have a friend who was born without the ability to hear. And when I met him, he had some hearing aids that made the room sound, you know, at least like he has a towel on his head. So if he was looking at you and focused on you and he saw your mouth moving, he would hear sounds that probably sounded like what was coming out of your mouth. And he learned to read lips and he learned to do all those things. And so he could hear, right? He could listen, but it was this incredibly focused effort. So you've got my little brother who's tuned his hearing so much that he can differentiate the sound between regular and peanut M&Ms being opened 3 feet from him without seeing them? I don't understand how that works. And then you have my friend whose hearing is so dull that it takes all the focus that he has and some imagination to connect what he's hearing overall so that he's participating in the life that the rest of us have. Isn't it interesting that we all have this gift, and yet it can work out so differently in each of our lives? Well, while this is true physically, it's also true spiritually of us. See, each of us, we were created to listen. But not just listen with our ears, but to listen spiritually. To listen to the Lord, through His Word, through His Spirit, through His people, but also to listen to others spiritually, to know them and to care for them the way God listens to us and cares for us spiritually. But much like these two individuals, some of us can hear spiritual peanut M&Ms, right? Like we're always tuned into the grace of God. We're always ready to hear it, and we're like, did I just hear Jesus move in your life? You know, I didn't even say a word, and that they can hear this being opened up in your heart already. And some of us are a little spiritually hard of hearing. And we're praying that the Lord would give us an implant, or maybe even we're comfortable not hearing, right? Like, think about how much work my friend has to do to hear. And sometimes he says, honestly, I would just rather not have to hear. So he like takes his hearing aids out, and it's just easier to not go through the effort of hearing. And yet God wants us to listen as a church. It's part of the rhythms of grace to listen. And so I want you to see this in the scripture, and then we're going to talk about how this works, because I don't want you just to be convinced that you need to listen and then say, okay, very good, now good luck out there. You know, many of us, we need to remember how to hear and to learn to focus on hearing the Lord and listening to others. And so we're going to talk about this together today, and we're going to talk about it from the book of Mark and some other places too. So we're going to be in Mark 1. We're going to be in verses 35 through 37. They're going to be on the screen behind you. But as always, you're so encouraged to read this out of your own Bible. Otherwise, how will you know if I'm making this junk up, right? Like, I just cross off what's here and tell you what I want to say to you. And so you should always check up on me and anybody else who's sharing the word with you. So Mark 1, 35 through 37 says this: very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, he went out, and he made his way to a deserted place, and there he was praying. And Simon and his companions searched for him, and when they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, wait, no, we're not just to 37, my bad. Everyone is looking for you. So it's very interesting to see that we have Jesus here. When it says that he got up very early in the morning, it was Jesus getting up very early in the morning. He's involved in a deep level of ministry in Capernaum, and he's going to be preaching in the surrounding area of Galilee. He's got a lot to do. He's just got 3 years to show all of the world what God is like and to die on the cross. He's got a lot going on. But Jesus wakes up, and he goes to a place all by himself. And what does it say that he was doing in that place? He was praying. Now, we know that Jesus had a unique, at that time, relationship with God the Father, right? In fact, he had deep fellowship with him. What are some of the ways that we know this is true? Can anybody give any examples? Okay, it says it in Scripture. Yeah, yeah. How about places like Jesus is baptized? What happens at Jesus' baptism between Jesus and the Father? Yeah, so like Jesus is being baptized, and he's saying this is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. And then as Jesus is baptized, David just said, the heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended visibly on Jesus as a dove, and then God the Father spoke. So everyone hears God the Father speak, and he says, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then think about the transfiguration. So the three disciples are with Jesus up on this mountain. Jesus is having fellowship with the Father. And then all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah appear in glory. And then Jesus and Moses and Elijah are all talking. And it's kind of like this cosmic reality show, right? And the disciples are the special guests. And they're like, I don't know what to do with this. And Peter's like, hey, what if we make like a tabernacle? This is going to be an awesome place of worship. Clearly, this is a holy place. And the more people who can come here and can see God's awesome nature like this is going to be better. And then God says this: this is my Son, in whom I am pleased. Listen to him. Don't make a temple, Peter. Listen to the Son, which is, you know, part of our rhythm here. But then beyond that, Jesus says this to the people that are around him. I only do what my Father says for me to do. I do what I see my Father doing. I do what I see my Father doing. Okay, does anybody else wonder, how did Jesus see what the Father was doing? I mean, was the Father walking with Jesus physically? Was he like hiding behind every bush and corner, and he like be behind the crowd and he's acting out the Sermon on the Mount? And Jesus is like, okay, I'm seeing the Father say that you are the light of the world. You know, it's like pantomime God behind the crowd. No. So Jesus had a unique and special relationship with the Father, where he knew God the Father uniquely. And this is why. He listened. He listened to the Father. Now, it's important for us to remember that Jesus is not just our Savior and our King, but also our example for living life on this earth, right? In fact, weeks ago, we said that Jesus, when he sees us weary and tired, he invites us to come and be with him, and he says, yoke up with me. Like, I want to train you in the way of life. Walk in my example. Walk in my way. Well, here Jesus is. Walking in the way. Yeah, he's got search results. He's been searching for the Father. And he's walking in the way, and the Father is known by him, and he's trying to show us this is also the way that you should walk. But this isn't new, right? This isn't a new truth. This is really historic. If you flip in your Bibles to Genesis 3, I know we keep going back to Genesis 3. You might want to put a permanent bookmark there. Genesis 1, 2, and 3, they're kind of important. This thing happens. Adam and Eve, they fall away from the Lord, but then in the middle of Adam and Eve's sin, in Genesis 3:8, it says, and then the man and his wife heard the sound, they're listening, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. So they heard the sound, like my little brother heard peanut M&Ms, and this time they did something strange, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, prior to this, what do you think was the norm? What do you think would happen normally when they hear the sound of the Lord walking in the garden? Yeah, Dad's home, guys! You know, and you could just see, maybe, you know, with bars, Adam and Eve running to God, like, Dad, you're here. You wouldn't believe it. Did you know if you scratch a zebra right here, it makes the coolest sound? Did you know that, God, when you made that zebra? You know, they're just sharing their discovery, and the Father is sharing with them because they were created to listen to God. They were created to know God. And you and I were created in that same way. We're created to listen. We're created to know God. So I want you to understand that you were created to listen. Now, there's a 20th century colloquialism. Maybe it's older than that. I don't know. I learned it in the 20th century. You have two ears and one because listening is more important than speaking. This is usually shared to you by a parent or grandparent who's ready for some quiet, right? And also needs you to do what? Listen, so you can be trained by them in the way of living. But God says it in a different way. He says it with his hand. He doesn't say the mouth is not important. The mouth is important, right? But the ears are also important. You and I were created to listen. Created to listen to God, and we're created to listen to other people. Now, we've been talking about how these rhythms are rooted in the being of God and the doing of God. And we've talked about, I just want you to remember this continually, that we know God not just as the Son, but we know God as the Father, and we know God as the Spirit. And each of these persons of the Trinity has impacted our lives in a unique way. And the things that they have done have given us unique identities. So the Father has adopted us to be the family of God, and so we love one another, and we love the world like God does. And the Son has stepped out of glory and eternity, and he has served us. He has made himself lower than us by serving us on the cross. And he says, you should be like me. And so we're also called to be servants. We receive the service of Christ, and we become servants like Christ, both in his character and his actions. And then we receive the Spirit, and the Spirit empowered us and empowers us to be missionaries or sent ones in the world. So those are our identities, and now we're living and learning What should we do? What should we do with these new identities? And so God says, well, I want you to know these rhythms of grace. The first is being story formed. You're formed by what the Father and the Son and the Spirit have done for you. And then you're formed as you listen. So we're going to listen to God. So we're going to just dwell in these questions. I know this is review, and for some of you, you're like, this is getting old, but I want this to be as familiar to you as the handle on your toilet, right? Like, I know that's specific, but you don't think about where that's at anymore, right? You take care of business. And in the same way, I want this to be so familiar with you so that when you're living life and you're wondering, it's Tuesday, what should I do? And you're like, oh, there's this truth. Like, I still live under who is God and what has God done for me? And I'm still defined by his grace and his goodness in his life. And then my doing springs out of that. Because just like you know what to do with that toilet handle, there's going to be moments in your life where you want to flush everything around you down the drain. You're ready to be done with this situation. But instead of responding to the situation, you need to go back. You need to go back to who God is and what he has done for you and who you are in light of that. Because this world is going to try and form you with a different story. It's going to try and pull you into different rhythms that are not founded on God's grace, but instead are founded on the disgrace that you're experiencing around you in a literal way, this lack of grace that we tend to experience over and over again. And so today we're talking about being created to listen. And we're listening to God. Now, some of you might be analyzing this and going, how is this different than being formed by the story of God? Because if I'm formed by the story of God, then I'm listening to the story of God. Well, that's just listening to one thing, and it's good to listen to that. We want to listen to that. We want your heartbeat to be founded on the story of God historically and what he's doing right now in your life and what he's going to do. That's really helpful. But in a deeper way, beyond that, you're made to listen to God in an intimate way right now. Think about it like this. If you're married, or if you know other people even, you could take it that far. You probably know your spouse in the past, right? But it's even more important to know your spouse right now, to live with your spouse, and to care for your spouse, and to listen to your spouse, and to have a commitment to continue to listen to your spouse. Or let's put it in a different way. How many of you know Abraham Lincoln? Okay, yeah. What do you know about Abraham Lincoln? He's the what president? 16th president. Yep, and he's on the penny, right? And he's from the land of Lincoln, Illinois. Does anybody know his wife's name? Mary Todd Lincoln, right? Mary Todd Lincoln. Great, great, great. What was Abraham Lincoln like physically? He was tall, yeah. Was that normal tall, or was there like something wrong? He had like a genetic disorder, right? So he kept getting taller, and his nose kept getting bigger. Thank goodness everybody didn't know about the story of Pinocchio, right? You'd never elect that president then. And he had not just a tall body, but he also tall hat and a big beard, right? So that dude was like 80% head, you know? He looked like a big dude with his hat, this beard, this beautiful face framed up in the middle. Does anybody know why he wore his tall hat? He didn't like carrying a briefcase. And so he would store his court documents and the things that he wanted to keep track of in this tall hat. And so he had like an 8.5-inch hat, you know, get all that stuff in. I think it's rather brilliant, right? What did Abraham Lincoln like to have for breakfast? What was the pet name that he had for Mary Todd and her for him? You don't know that either? Why was Abraham Lincoln motivated to be president? Yeah, he was motivated to abolish slavery. Isn't that interesting? And he felt like it was a mission from God. And he wasn't on that mission alone, apparently. There were like a handful of people and politicians who were on this hunt to make America fair and just in the way that God wanted society to be fair and just. And he was... Yeah, and that's the many of the foundations of the Republican Party was formed. That's just raw history. How about this? Did Abraham Lincoln have any aches or pains that bothered him from his childhood? Yeah. What did he think of his dad? What did he think of his mom? Did he have any regrets? Any hopes for the future? Okay, so how many of you think you know Abraham Lincoln now? Me either. How many of us know God in that way? How many of us know Jesus in that way? That we have facts of Jesus and we have a picture of him in our lives, but we don't actually know him. See, we can't know Abraham Lincoln because we can't listen to Abraham Lincoln. Now, even if you were to study Abraham Lincoln and read his writings, you still don't know him because you can't listen to him. If you don't listen to somebody, you don't actually know them. You don't actually understand their heart and their desires for you. And in the same way, if you don't listen to God, I don't mean to be rude or condemning. I'm just pointing out what's logical and true for you and for me. But it also means that you don't really know God. I'm not trying to say that you might not have eternal life. You don't have genuine faith in Jesus. You don't have hope in eternity, that you don't want to live a good life before the Lord as an act of worship to him. I'm not trying to disparage any of those things. I'm just trying to point out this one truth. That if you don't know how to listen to God, then you don't know how to know God. And as we talked about during communion, God deeply longs for you to know him. And he longs for you to know that he knows you. And the health of your soul and the fruitfulness of your life is bound up in knowing him. Because in him you live and move and have your being. You were created to listen to God. And that's true whether you believe in Jesus today or not. It's part of the nature of you. It might as well be part of your DNA. You know, we don't know where it's hard-coded in, but we know that this is true. So how do you listen to God? I mean, this is so key, and I talk with so many believers who ask this, how do you listen to God? I get regularly asked this if I have opportunities to speak elsewhere. You talk about hearing God. What is that like? And I'm like, well, do you hear my voice? It's like that, but not actually physically audible, right? There's no sound waves when God speaks to me, but I hear it with the clarity and the depth often of the way that I hear you and that you hear me. And then they kind of do this. And then sometimes they ask a follow-up question. But what I realized is that while it's something that's been true for me for most of my life in knowing God, well, all of my life in truly knowing God, but most of my life in believing and having faith in Christ and having eternal life, it's not something that I ever learned to do. It's just something that God turned on in me one day. And it happened because I was reading John 10. Jesus was talking about himself as the good shepherd. And I had just come to faith like 8-12 weeks before. And I'm reading this. And I'm like, Jesus, you are the good shepherd. And I'm just agreeing with his teachings in John 10. And he's saying that he's going to defend the sheep. He cares for the sheep. And this is amazing news because I've just come to eternal life and I'm just knowing Jesus, and he's saying, you are mine and I will never let you go, and I will defend you, and other people will fail you and other people will abandon you, but I will never abandon you and I will never fail you. And then he says this really strange thing in the midst of it. My sheep hear my voice. They know me and I know them. And it was like, hard stop, because everything around that was yes and amen, and then that happened, and I was like, but I don't. But I know I have life in you, and I know that I'm your sheep. And so then I just looked at the word, and I said, Lord, I'm supposed to hear you according to the words of Jesus. Help me to hear you. Help me to hear you. I believe that this is true. Now, what's funny is that over the following days and weeks and months, what God did is he turned my spiritual hearing aid up a little bit, right? And I started to hear him, but then as I started to hear him, I realized something. I was before. I just didn't know what it looked like. See, I was in John 10 because I had a hunger for God's word, because I wanted to hear from God, and I was told this is the word of God, the God out of eternity spoke into our reality through the lives of people just like us, and that speaking was recorded through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I was reading this word, and the whole time, it's not just reading about history, it's communing with God, and I'm marveling at who he is and what he's done, and I'm marveling at his words written down, and they're not just spoken in the past, they're being spoken to me right then, as as I'm reading them, and they're echoing in my heart, and they're echoing in my soul, the truth of God, and as I'm walking on this earth, the truth of God is becoming alive and active in my heart, so that the forgiveness that Jesus gave me, I'm learning to forgive others. So that people are hurting me, people who I love, and they're not understanding me because I just came to Christ, and they're saying terrible things to me, right, about my faith and about Jesus. I mean, if you're new and you believe in Jesus, and someone who you love and respect says, there is no God, you're a fool, how does that wound you? Deeply, right? You want those voices to affirm and love you. And in the face of that, through his word, God is saying, walk in grace to them as I walked in grace to you. At the right time, I died for you. You were my enemy. Don't let them be your enemy. Trust in me. Don't fight them. Love them, right? And so Jesus is speaking these things. He's talking to me, and I don't know the voice yet. But then as I learn, I start to hear him more and more. And I'm knowing his voice to be true. It's all because I looked at God's word and I said, I believe that. Now, I know this because I've heard it said, and I've heard it said to me, God does not speak today, is what some people say. That God spoke before, and so you read this, because if you're hearing from God now, you're either crazy and need medication, or you're listening to who? Satan. Yeah, I've heard pastors say this, like in my position, and it's really confusing. And maybe you've heard someone say this before to you. Maybe another pastor, aside from me, or someone has shared this message, but we want to step away from. Remember what I said? I said, you need to check me up on what I'm speaking, because if what I'm speaking isn't according with this, then it can't be true. Well, if Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and then another pastor over here in the 20th century, the 21st century says, no, they don't. Who do you believe? Yeah, you believe Jesus, right? You trust in him and his word more than the word of somebody else. And so some of us, we need to cast off unbelief. We say, this isn't going to tangle me up anymore. I'm going to believe that God speaks, and I'm going to remind myself of that right now and every day, and I'm going to keep on believing that. And the next thing beyond that, I've already revealed that it's on the screen, but we're going to talk about it, is we need to be in the scripture. We are having massive formatting issues. On my computer, there was just one bullet point, but it got a double bullet point in transferring it over here. Maybe they're double special. Write it down twice. Emphasis. Yeah, emphasis in the right place. Next, you're going to want to be in the scriptures. You're going to want to be in the scriptures. So in Jeremiah 15:6, Jeremiah said, and so I took the word of the Lord and I ate it. I put it in me and I ate it. Now, there's a lot surrounding that, and there's a whole vision. You can read about it. You'll probably scratch your head for a little while, keep reading it, praying about it. You'll learn great things from it. But just that portion, Jeremiah says, I took the word of the Lord, I took what God was speaking to me, and I ate it. I ingested it. I digested it, and it became a part of me. Now, this is in comparison to what Jesus says to the Pharisees in John 5:39. He said, you study intently the scriptures because you know that eternal life is within them. And you don't know when the word of God is making eternal life obvious to you right now. It's like he's saying, seeing you do not see, hearing you do not hear. They were receiving the word of God and they weren't digesting it. They weren't letting it permeate them. They were hunting for it, right? But they were blind and deaf and they couldn't see it and they couldn't hear it. Now, which one of these two would you rather be like? Jeremiah, right? Like, I want to have the scriptures, and I don't want to just be reading them. I want to be digesting them. I want them to become a part of my life. Now, there's lots of different ways that you can go about reading the scriptures, right? I have a friend. He reads 10 chapters a day, every day of the year without fail. It's this awesome reading program. It's called like Professor Horner's reading program. Maybe some of you are overachievers. You're going to write that down. You're going to Google it. You're going to do it. It's going to change your life. It's changed my friend's life. He reads the Gospels, like all of them, every 90 days. So he reads all the Gospels 4 times a year. And then he reads the Psalms like 1.5 times a year. And he reads the Pentateuch. What is that? 365 divided by 5 is, 75 times. He reads the Pentateuch 75, or not, Not 75 times. This is month. My math's off. Anyways, leave that behind. He just reads the scriptures a ton, and he meditates on them as he reads it, right? And so he's in the Word constantly. But then I have another friend. He reads like 2 verses a day. And you know what he does? He meditates on those verses. He meditates. He takes those verses, and he digests them. And all day long, he's thinking about like those verses. And it's not just 2 verses. What he does is he reads until he goes, God just spoke to me. And then he's like, I'm gonna receive what God just spoke to me, and I'm just gonna meditate on the truth that I just read and the things that God is speaking to me right now. And so they're both making it their practice to not just be in the Word, but to be seeing God in the Word and hearing God in the Word. They're digesting it. Do you know what happens when you digest something in your body? It becomes a part of you, right? And it goes where it's supposed to go in your body. Isn't that cool? When you start eating in your mouth, before it even gets in your stomach, you're having vitamins and minerals and sugar enter through the soft tissues in your mouth into your bloodstream right there. It's being infused in you. It's becoming a part of you. And Jeremiah, it's like, this is happening. Now, maybe we're like deconstructing it and putting something in the text that isn't necessarily there, but when you digest the Word of God, it becomes a part of you. It becomes a piece of who you are. It nourishes you spiritually. And this is what we want from the Word. We want spiritual nourishment, not just facts, right? Not just knowing Abraham Lincoln, knowing somebody who you're intimate with and close to. And so you come to the Word, and you trust God to speak from the Word. And you remain there. And so you pray, and maybe you fast. If you want to, you can flip to Psalm 41 with me, because while I had this in my head, it's not right now, so we're just going to, you know, go look it up. Psalms is this book of prayers. It's often called the songbook of the soul. And Psalm 41 says, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry for help. Right? So we're being honest with God. As we're meditating, we're speaking to him, as we're in the Word, as we're thinking about the Word. And then in Psalm 69, verses 10 through 13, we see David talking about seeking help in a greater way. In verses 10 through 13, he says, I mourned and I fasted, but it brought me insults. I wore sackcloth as my clothing, and I was a joke to them. Those who sit at the city gates talk about me, and drunkards make up songs about me. But as for me, Lord, my prayer to you is for a time of favor, a time of grace, it might read. In your abundant, faithful love, God, answer me with your sure salvation. So this prayer and fasting, it's humbling yourself before God. When I'm admitting that I have need to God, I'm admitting that I can't do it on my own and I need his help, right? You know this inherently, spiritually. You don't walk around talking about your needs to everybody, because you don't want everybody to know you're as weak as you are, right? Otherwise, we'd broadcast. It'd be on Facebook, right? Our Instagram would not be like, look at my awesome life. It'd be like, woe is me, for I am a sinner, and I stand before a holy God. We humble ourselves before God. And that's what David is saying in his fasting. I fasted. I mourned over my sin. I had deep sorrow because I didn't have fellowship with you. And so I sought you, God. And so I'm seeking favor. Remember what James says? He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you, and draw near to God and he will draw near to you. But he also says, God resists the proud. He opposes them. But what does he do to the humble? He gives grace. He gives favor. He lifts them up. And so David is showing us, hey, if you want to learn to listen to God, get humble. Get low. Let him speak over you, because he is over you in every sense. He is holy and eternal. He's the blazing center of the universe, the source of life. And you and I, we're like grass. We're like vapor. We fade. But God doesn't. He is great. So if you want to hear from God, you kind of have to go, you're speaking to me, and it's a big deal that you're speaking to me. And I just want to hear from you. And so I'm going to set aside everything else at times to pursue this, to be in tune with you. I'm not saying you have to do this all the time, right? Like some of you are probably like, when do I fast? If you want to talk about fasting sometime, you can ask me or the elders, and we'd love to talk to you about the usefulness of fasting. That's not what this sermon is about, but that's a piece of learning to listen to God. And then meditation. We talked a little bit about meditation last week. Meditation is not sort of, you know, that Eastern, like, Om Jesus. You know, you don't need to do yoga to get into this. It's this picture of you over and over again mentally chewing on the truth of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God. In Psalm 37:3, David says, I will delight in your grace and your goodness. I will feast on it. I am actually going to feast on your goodness and faithfulness towards me. Anybody ever been to a feast before? That's good. What do you do at a feast? You eat. How much do you eat? Stupid amounts of food, right? Like all the things you said you were not going to eat are all of a sudden on the menu because you're like, calories do not count today. Or more like, I am not counting calories today. And so like when you're feasting on God, when you recognize that your life is a table of God's grace laid before you, and he's saying, eat all you want because your fullness is your good, then what do? You eat. You feast on the goodness and the grace of God. And this is what meditation is. You know, meditation is not some holy monk practice where you live in a stone room on a wooden bed that's intentionally uncomfortable so that you are in pain. It is a feast. It's a feast on the grace of God in your life. And if you want to hear God, you kind of have to learn to feast on the grace. You need to learn to chew on his goodness and his faithfulness. You need to do what it says in Psalm 34:8. You need to taste and see. The Lord is good, but not just once, a lot. Now, are there times where it's easier to do this than others? Absolutely, right? There's all sorts of ways that feasting is easy, but there's times where feasting is actually a little bit dehydrated, right? You're like, man, this is a valley of the shadow of death, and there's no spiritual water. My soul is parched. Lord, I long for you. I'm going to pull out dehydrated grace, right? And I'm going to add my tears, and I'm going to add my sweat, and I'm going to remember, God, you delivered me before, you will deliver me again. God, you are faithful to your people, you will be faithful to me. You are the God who declares, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you, and even though I don't know where you are, and I can't seem to hear you today, I trust that you have never changed, and your grace is still toward me. And so you're going to feast on the grace of God as you meditate. And then finally, we listen to God through community. We listen to God through community. In Acts 13, it's this beautiful picture of some missionaries being sent. Their names are Saul and Barnabas. Maybe you've heard of them before. There was this whole church. Then they were worshiping, and they were listening to God. And God said, set apart for me Saul and Barnabas and send them out as missionaries. And that happened because they listened together. They listened together. And so we listen to God together. It's a big part of why we want you to be in a small group with other believers, because this is a hard environment to listen in the way that you can listen in your small group, where you can share your prayer requests and be known, where people can pray with you and over you, where you can discern the voice of God together. It's also part of why we believe in church membership here. Because we're saying God is calling us to discern together his work on this coast and around the world through our partnership with other organizations. And so we participate in listening to God together. You need to listen backwards and forwards to God. Backwards and forwards. So I've already described this a little bit, but I want you to understand this in a deeper way. If you can do the first part, you can get into the second part. I listen backwards by thinking and listening to what God has done in the past. Because if God has done it in the past, both in his word and in my life and in other people's lives, what can I guarantee? He's going to do that in the future, right? And so I listen backwards to God, and then I listen forwards to God, because that's how I walk in faith, right? Faith is seeing what God has done and then what he will do and trusting in that. Because if I don't walk like that, what am I going to walk in? I'm going to walk in fear. I'm going to need to control. I'm going to need to resist. I'm going to have anxiety. I'm not going to have spiritual power and spiritual fruit as I walk forward. So I need to listen backwards to this grace, and I need to listen forwards to this grace. Now, if you're going to do this, you have to take space. You have to get yourself into the right time and the right mode so that you can listen. There are times that it's really hard to listen to other people, right? Have you ever tried to have a conversation while you're like vacuuming? What? I didn't hear you. Well, a lot of times we're trying to talk to the Lord while we're vacuuming in life, and we need to set that aside, and we need to like actually listen. You need to create space and rhythm in your life for this listening, backwards and forwards. Next, we need to understand that you and I, we were created to listen to others. This isn't just about listening to God. You know, we're not just God's holy cluster who only listens to Him. But think about how Jesus listened not just to the Father, but to other people. He was so available for other people to speak with. I mean, Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the garden. There's this beautiful conversation recorded in John 3. You've got one of the shortest books in the Bible, Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? Because he was listening, and he was seeing, and he had compassion. He was listening to them. Then you have this God historically who listens to us. The beginning of Exodus, the Israelites are grumbling. They're not even praying. And what does it say? And God heard. God heard, and God remembered. And so God doesn't want us to just listen to him. He wants us to learn to listen to others, to hear them, to listen to their stories. We talked about how we're story formed. Well, how will we share the story of Jesus with someone if we don't know their story? If we won't know them and love them, and then to be able to share the truth of God in the places where God has already prepared in their lives to receive the truth of God. Instead, we just sort of like fire hose or shotgun the message of the gospel at people, and they don't hear it because we don't know how to speak to them because we never listened to them. We didn't become a listening people first. We became a telling people first. And that doesn't work very well. It doesn't work very well for you. It doesn't work very well for me. And it doesn't work very well for those people who don't know Jesus yet. And so we need to learn to listen to others. We need to learn to listen to each other in this church family. We need to learn to listen to our neighbors and to care for them. We need to learn to love them well based on who they are. That's how God loves us, right? God comes to us with understanding and care because he knows us. We can't know them if we don't listen to them. You and I, we were created to listen. I talked about my friend who couldn't hear. And as an adult, this crazy thing happened. His insurance company contacted him, and they said, "Hey, we have a grant program available. How would you like a cochlear implant?" And he was like, "Pardon me, I didn't hear you. Right? Can you say that again?" And so he, as an adult, he's just about my age, just this last year, he went and had this massive invasive surgery where they put an implant in his head, in his brain, and in his ear so that he can hear. And he and I got together recently. He loves to hunt. And he said, I asked, he didn't get any elk, and he was kind of bummed. He said, "But you know what was crazy is I was out there hunting, and I heard them before I saw them. I heard them before I saw them." Maybe you're here today and you don't hear the Lord yet. Maybe you're here today, you feel like these hearing aids are broken. Or maybe you're here today and you realize I tuned God out because I didn't want to hear what he had to say. I just want you to know that God can do an awesome work in your life. That he's ready to give you that spiritual cochlear implant. He wants to make it so that you can hear him. You're going to have to seek him. I mean, Matt didn't just magically wake up hearing one day. He went, and he had the thing done. You need to approach God. You need to believe, and you need to get in Scripture, and you need to meditate, and you need to be praying, and you need to be talking to other people about this. You need to wait on the Lord, and he's going to start speaking to you. You need to seek him, and you will find him, but he will speak to you. And maybe you're here today, and you listen to God, but you've stopped listening to others because they just say weird and wacky things. You don't understand. And if you don't hear them and you don't understand them, you're not going to be able to love them. God designed you to listen to them so that you can love them, because without listening, you can't love and you can't know. My guess is if you're like me, your hearing could get a little better no matter what. And so let's take some time and let's pray for that, and then let's worship God some more. Father, I thank you for this truth that we were created to listen, that it's part of the rhythm of our lives. And Father, I just confess personally, I don't always want to take time to stop and listen. I don't want to cultivate the slowness and the space that it takes to hear you. I don't always want to stop and listen to others because I have things that I want to do and they say things that I don't want to hear sometimes. Father, I see you and I see your son and I see how he listens and I see how you listen and I see how you say you speak and how you call me to love by listening to others. And it stops me dead in my tracks. And I say, yes, Lord, I want to hear you. And yes, Lord, I want to hear them. And Father, I know that there are people in this room who are longing to hear from you today. And so would you do the work in their lives, the miraculous work, that they would start to hear you. And Father, would you give them encouragement and endurance in their hearts while they wait on you. And Father, would you be placing your spirit on them and your word in them so they begin to hear you while they're working and walking and living and in the quiet and even in the loud when your voice be speaking to them. And Father, would you tune us to listen to the world around us as well so that we can love others and know them. Jesus came and walked and listened to us. He still cares for us. Listening is a part of loving, Father. And so help us to develop habits of listening to those in this church body and those in the world around us so that we can be like you to the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.